The Titans made a number of acquisitions this offseason through free agency, through the draft, even via trade, and we're going to rank the five biggest, best acquisitions the team made this offseason right now on the Music City Audible. Let's get to it! Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, it's July. Welcome to July. July is the month that training camp starts, which means we're sort of halfway through this dead period. I know it's a dead period because... You know, I mean, I'll just be frank. We look at the numbers, every one of our videos do, and it's very much a dead period right now. So we appreciate every member of the Audible Army who is tuning into these shows every single day. You guys are the real ones. We can't do it without your support. We do it for you. So we're glad that you guys are here. Again, make sure you like the video, comment below. Who are your five biggest Titans acquisitions? Rank them in the comments. Justin, how you doing today?
Doing well. You're right. It's only the diehard Audible Army members who are tuning in every day right now. That's the honest truth, but we're doing it nonetheless. In fact, and very rude of you, today's Canada Day, by the way. It's like our 4th of July. Here I am recording a pod on Canada Day because, truthfully, I don't get any days off in this industry. And I am, exciting news, going to the Portugal-Croatia game tomorrow in Toronto, the World Cup game. I couldn't pass up the opportunity, the rare once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see my country play in my other country. So I'm going to the game, which means I'm working overtime today on Canada Day to make sure I can take as much time tomorrow as I need to make a full day out of it. I'm going to do a whole full day experience, looking forward to it. But before Portugal beats Croatia and advances to the round of 16, we are covering today the five biggest, best offseason acquisitions for the Tennessee Titans. And fun fact for the audience, we'll be honest with them. You know my list, because I accidentally texted it to you when you told me not to. I don't know your list. So I know we're going to differ a little bit here probably. But do you want me to start with my number five? Where do you want me to go with this?
Yeah, so we each made our own list ranking the Titans offseason acquisitions 1 through 5, and we're going to reveal it now to each other live on this show. We're not live, but live to each other. Of course, Mello did text me his 5, so I kind of know who we're going to talk about, but we're not completely the same across the board, which I think is good because we get more than 5 players to talk about here. Yeah, so why don't you start with who you believe is the 5th most important offseason acquisition for the Tennessee Titans this year?
And as a precursor, a lot to choose from here, right? Again, we're including everyone. So draft picks, trades, the Titans made multiple trades, draft picks, free agent signings, 8 draft picks, committed more than $310 million in free agency. So we had a lot of players to choose from here, rookies and veterans alike. Number 5 for me, cornerback Alante Taylor. Even though he got one of the biggest deals in free agency by the Titans, 3 years, $68 million, I believe it was. $19 million a year, give or take, I think is what they committed to him. One of the biggest deals in free agency for Tennessee. He's my number 5. He's going to be the number 1 cornerback. If I had to guess one of your changes, maybe you have him a bit higher than 5. I just think the Titans are going to have bigger impact players, whether it's on offense, whether it's along the defensive line, whether it's elsewhere in the secondary. Looking forward to watching Alante Taylor this year, not meant as a slight whatsoever. As I said, the Titans did a lot. You know, there's a lot of competition for these spots. I've got the number 1 cornerback on the team as the 5th biggest. Was very close to being number 4 for me. I've got those two as, kind of a toss-up. Either one could be 4 or 5, but I went with Alante Taylor at number 5.
Yeah, so I actually do not have Alante Taylor my list at all. So I'm glad that you included him. I do have a different cornerback. I think that might be a bit of an obvious spoiler. But I think Alante Taylor is going to be a huge acquisition. Obviously, I mean, the Titans secondary last year was so terrible. They needed to remake the room completely, and that's what they've done. So I think Alante Taylor is probably going to open the year as the number 1 corner. I'll save my thoughts on why I think the other guy I chose is even more impactful and a bigger signing for the future, for the long-term future of the team. But I mean, there's no doubt that Alante Taylor is going to be huge if this defense is going to be better than it was last year, particularly the pass defense. Alante Taylor is going to play a big part of that. My number five player is actually Jermaine Johnson, the edge rusher that they traded to Vondre Sweat for before free agency even opened. And I put him down at five because I think it's impactful. It's obviously one of the premium positions in football, and the Titans didn't have really anybody there that you feel comfortable rolling out as a starter in week one. They've obviously done so much on the defensive line, kind of hard to pick one, but I think Jermaine Johnson has obviously the highest ceiling and upside as a pure actual edge rusher for this Titans defense. Coming off his Achilles injury, now he'll be 2 years removed. Reuniting with Robert Saleh, we're all sort of expecting him to have, I mean, we're hoping that he can have a career year. It's a contract year for him, so that motivation and incentive should be there. Again, reuniting with Saleh and White Cotton in a defense that he excelled in New York before tearing his Achilles. I think that he is going to be super impactful for this defense if they're going to be as good as we want them to be. It's because Jermaine Johnson is an impactful rusher off the edge, in part, along with a lot of other things. But I have Johnson at number five. I think Johnson did make your list. Is that right?
I put him at number four. Yes, I had him one spot higher than you. And I'll, like I said, I kind of had him and Alante Taylor as interchangeable at 4-5. The reason I go with Johnson at four is because of the premium nature of the edge position and what else the Titans have there. Like, I think he's got more upside as a pass rusher than Femi Oladejo, than Jacob Martin, certainly than Jalen Harrell, and certainly even over, you know, first-round pick Keldrick Falk, who's going to do a lot of the dirty work as a run defender, I think, in year one. The reason I was hesitant to put him on this list at all, and even though I put him at number four, is that he was bad last year, to be blunt. Yeah. Like, I don't think Titans fans want to hear that, but he was bad. He had, like, what, three sacks all of last year? And I think 12 pressures or something. Like, his pressure numbers were really low, zero quarterback hits. The Achilles injury did a number on him last year. He really struggled to come back from it. Now, we're hoping another year removed from that, reuniting with, not only, funny enough, not only Saleh and White Cotton, but an old teammate of his, Tanzel Smart, who's also going to be assistant D-line coach this year. Like, we're hoping this environment, you know, playing on a D-line with John Franklin Myers, Jeffrey Simmons, like, there's so much hope for Jermaine Johnson to get back to being like a 7-10 sack guy, which he once was with the Jets. I think the Titans, maybe need is a strong word because they've got so many D-linemen and they're going to rotate them. But I think it would really, really benefit them and really change the trajectory of this defense, in my opinion, if Jermaine Johnson can get back to what he once was under Robert Saleh. So even though I'm scared and I'm hesitant based on the year he had last year, that's why I put him at number four, even ahead of someone like Alante Taylor, who they paid so much money.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. Like, the reason he landed at five for me instead of four is because I do think that he's not in that tier. I mean, he's obviously not in that tier of premier edge rusher. I question if he's even in that, like, second tier where Harold Landry sits. You know, I mean, his career high sacks in a season is 7.5, right? It's not like he's even ever had a double-digit sack season. So hopefully that changes this year under Robert Saleh, but hard to say right now. My number four guy is Cordell Flott, the other cornerback that they signed. I get it, like, the contract not quite as big from as Alante Taylor's, 3 years, $45 million for Flott. But the reason I think that this is a bigger deal is Flott's only 24 years old. And I know Taylor's not old. He's coming off his first rookie. They're both coming off rookie contracts. But Flott is a guy who's gotten better every single year. I think he's a underrated corner who's going to sort of, like, he has a chance to emerge as somebody that people actually know and recognize the name better if he has a good year under Robert Saleh. And just the age factor and the developmental upside that you have with Cordell Flott, I think that by the end of the year, we might be viewing him as the Titans' number one corner. Like, his passer rating allowed has decreased every year he's been in the league. The number of pass breakups he's gotten has increased every year he's been in the league. He's just an ascending player who the New York Giants really wanted to bring back and tried really hard to bring back. Mm-hmm. And Robert Saleh was able to convince him that his role in this defense in Tennessee will allow him to reach his full potential and shine brighter. And he chose to leave his home and the team that he played for 4 years, the team that took a chance on him by drafting him, all of his teammates that are still in New York, even though the coaching staff is totally new. Like, he left that situation, the comfort of what he knew, the familiar, to come try something new here in Nashville to help build this Titans defense into a contending unit. And for those reasons, like, mostly the age and the ascending factor are why I put him on the list and not Alante Taylor, because I think for the duration of this contract and hopefully beyond with another contract here in Nashville, he proves to be I think he'll prove to be the better investment on the defense.
So Flott's not on my list, but I don't hate it at all, because I went Taylor over Flott because of the size of contract. But truthfully, they're the number one and two corners, which means they're both going to be on the field every single rep, essentially, when healthy. And I don't really believe, he's the number one, he's the number two. They're both going to have to cover the sidelines at a high level in this defense, right? So I don't hate it. I think he's equally as important to this defense as Alante Taylor is. I went with Taylor, again, due to the size of the contract, but certainly they're both going to be asked to defend the sidelines at a high level this year.
And I wonder if the Titans will ask either of them to travel with opposing receivers. I don't expect them to do that. I don't think that's been a Robert Saleh thing, although it might have been a little with Sauce, but Sauce is a different level of player
I don't think so.
And I don't even know if he did it. I'm going to have to look into that for later in the offseason. But I mentioned Cordell Flott, 24 years old. He'll turn 25 during the season. Alante Taylor, they both have played 4 years in the NFL coming off their rookie contract. It's crazy. Alante Taylor turns 28 in December.
That's huge difference. You're right about that. I mean, I remember Flott entered the draft at 20. That's why we talk about age in the NFL draft. It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, that is the difference in the length of contract that these guys signed. When this contract for Flott runs out, he'll be Taylor's age right now, and they've played the same amount of time in the NFL. So, crazy. All right, we're going to keep moving up the list. We're going to reveal our number three most important acquisition after this break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back! Justin, your third most important, biggest acquisition by this Titans team this offseason is...
wide receiver Wandell Robinson. I went with Wandell Robinson. 4 years, $70 million contract, back-to-back 90 catch seasons, coming off his first 1,000-yard campaign. Everything we've said this offseason, having played all 4 years, essentially, for new Titans offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, we know what his fit is in this offense. He was an exemplary player throughout voluntary OTAs at minicamp, catching a lot of balls from Cam Ward, especially at minicamp. That final practice, he led them in the final open practice, at least. He led them in receptions. I think he's going to be big for this offense. I have him at number three because I think there are two players who are more important offseason acquisitions. But Robinson is a high-volume guy, quarterback-friendly target. I understand the argument for maybe having him higher on this list, I don't think he's a true 1,000-yard receiver. You know, I think he's like a 700-yard receiver. And I don't think he's a true number one, nor do I think he's going to be the Titans' true number one. Maybe a spoiler alert for later on. Those are part of the reasons why I landed on him at number three and not any higher.
I also have Wandale number three on my list. And I think for all the reasons you said, I think, you know, you talked about exemplary performer at OTAs, just the fact that he was at voluntary OTAs every single session. We saw him on the practice field, or somebody did. I think is really that speaks a lot about the kind of veteran leadership that he'll bring to this room. Obviously, you have Calvin Ridley in there, who everybody last year spoke about with the utmost respect and praise for his leadership and bringing along the what were then two rookie receivers last year. But Wandale Robinson is doing that as well. And Wandale Robinson has the added benefit of, well, I guess Ridley does too. I was going to say, the added benefit of having played for Brian Daboll, Calvin Ridley played for Brian Daboll at Alabama. I think it's a little different having Wandale shared his, literally, like you said, basically his whole career until Daboll got fired in New York. Like, being able to be that person in the room, helping out the receivers and the quarterback as like almost an extension of the offensive coaching staff, just because he has such familiarity with them, is a huge deal. And I think that it can't be overstated. I do think that, you know, we'll talk about next week the target share and everything when we preview the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. But like, mini spoiler alert, I kind of feel like Wandale has the best chance of anybody to lead the team in targets, like you said. So I think that is, I think he is the third most important acquisition, and we are aligned on that. Should we move to the number two, the second most important? You're almost the most important, but not quite. Second most important offseason acquisition. Justin, we've covered so far a player the Titans traded for, multiple players they've signed. Are we going to get to a player they drafted? Who's your number two?
Well, not yet for me, because at number two, and I'm sorry to this guy, because like you said, close to number one, but like Ricky Bobby said, if you're not first, you're last. But he's not last in my heart. It's defensive lineman John Franklin Myers is who I have number two. Another big contract, what, 3 years, $63 million, if memory serves me correctly, over $20 million a year for Robert Saleh to reunite with JFM, who was once upon a time one of the most underrated players in the NFL. I don't know that you can call a guy super underrated after he's now signed a deal worth over $20 million per year. I think he's getting his just due. When the Jets got him for like nothing when he joined Robert Saleh initially and developed into a really good player, and fills me with confidence that he left the Jets, went to Denver, and continued being a really good player. So now having him come back with Robert Saleh now here to Tennessee and putting him on a line with Jeffrey Simmons, I mean, knock on wood, but this move almost feels fail-proof to me. Like, I think John Franklin Myers is going to be really good for the Titans this year. Hopefully he stays healthy, but the scheme is obviously an excellent fit for him. He's been a terrific high-motor player, you know, throughout his career, and has he ever played with any? I mean, look, I guess he had Quinnen Williams in New York. There are some really good players in Denver he was with. But obviously, Jeffrey Simmons at his level is going to be the best, or maybe second best if you want to be. I think the best.
I think the best
defensive lineman he's ever played with. I know, you know, back in those days, Quinnen Williams had a better reputation than Jeffrey Simmons did at that point. That's the only reason I'm being really. I'm a friendly Canadian on Canada Day.
I think it's fine. Jeffrey Simmons, after last season,
gets
to be officially diagnosed as the best player that John Franklin Myers will have played with. And he also comes in at number two on my list as well. So we are aligned here. I think he has played for Saleh, so he can do everything we just talked about Wandale doing for the receivers. He can do for the defensive line along with Jermaine Johnson and Jacob Martin and Solomon Thomas and all the guys that are reuniting. There's more guys that have played together before in this defensive line than there are holdovers from last season.
Really?
Which is wild. So yeah, all these guys will come in and help everybody like get on the same page. But I think John Franklin Myers, just his ability to get after the quarterback. I mean, you look at those graphics that float around, they're like top five pass rush win rates among interior defensive linemen, like pressure percentage, total pressure, sacks. Like, he's up there in the top five in all these categories. And so is Jeffrey Simmons. So pairing them together, I think it's like a compounding multiplier. It doesn't just make the defensive line better because he's a good player. It makes Jeffrey Simmons better because Jeffrey Simmons can get absorbed, you'd be attacking a double team, and John Franklin Myers makes a play, and now the defensive or the offensive coach on the side are like, well, we can't just leave John Franklin Myers single blocked either. We gotta like mix up who we're double teaming to keep this defensive line off guard, and that's gonna lead to some one-on-one opportunities for Jeffrey Simmons. And when he gets a one-on-one opportunity, he usually is like taking down CJ Stroud before he's even able to finish a play action fake because he's in the backfield so fast. That was the best defensive play the Titans made last year, I think. So, yeah, I think John Franklin Myers, hugely important, and comes in at number two for both of us, is going to make this, he's going to help make the biggest strength of this team what it is, which is the defensive front, and especially the interior of the defensive front. So, very excited about him, and he's going to help with flexibility because he can bump outside on early downs to set the edge in the run game. He's going to be very, very important to this team. All right, Justin, number one on your list. Who you got as the most important addition to the Titans this offseason?
I'm assuming we've got the same player, unless you're going to throw one heck of a curveball. Fourth overall pick, Carnell Tate, right? I mean,
isn't it crazy that, because I also have Carnell Tate number one. Right. Isn't it crazy that we can say a player who's never played a snap in the NFL is the most important addition of the offseason?
Maybe that's our excitement getting the better of us. But for me, it's like, number four overall pick is a premium pick. He plays wide receiver, which this team desperately needs a number one after the A.J. Brown debacle. And again, the history of this franchise with wide receivers has been tough. So that's part of the reason why he's so big. And of course, the Cam Ward factor plays a role too. Like, you want Cam Ward to develop into a franchise quarterback. It's the most important thing that needs to happen to this organization. Giving him a true premium number one wideout could help do that. For all those reasons together, I've got Carnell Tate number one. We're going to talk about him a lot more, as you alluded to earlier with Wandell Robinson, on next week's wide receiver preview episode. But certainly that's one of the major reasons why I've got Tate at number one.
Yeah, and I just think, like, it's all the stuff that we talked about every other player, like premium position, big position of need, going to have a big impact this year, play a huge role. He's the only rookie that I felt comfortable putting on this top five list. Obviously, you are in the same boat as me there. And I think that number four overall status, like this time last year, we would have said Cam Ward was the most important addition to last year's team. And that would have proven to be accurate, and it would still prove to be accurate today. So I don't think I'm not going to have any regrets putting Carnell Tate on this list. If he has a disappointing year for whatever reason, I don't know that it changes how important he is. Cause if he has a disappointing year, the offense probably has a disappointing year. Just because they're going to ask him to be the number one wide receiver from day one in this offense, despite never, oh no, Justin, he was never his own team's wide receiver one. How is he possibly going to take this on? I don't know. Cause people get better when they leave college and enter the professional world all the time in every category of existence on this planet. So yeah, I do have a lot of confidence in Carnell Tate's abilities to be a wide receiver one right away. Maybe, like you said, it's excitement talking here more than reality, but then he goes out and shows you in OTAs why he was the number four pick, getting talked about the same way Malik Nabers was this time, or in, I guess not this time anymore, a couple months ago in 2024 during their Giants OTAs. Like, Nick Suss wrote an article about this where he went back and looked at the media coverage of all of these highly drafted wide receivers during their rookie year. And everyone remembers Ja'Marr Chase drop problem in training camp, his rookie year, that proved to be completely irrelevant to his career. But Malik Nabers is the only guy in the last, like, I think 5 years or so, maybe 10 years or so, I can't remember the exact timeline, who was getting this kind of buzz that Carnell Tate's getting. Like, wow, he's immediately dominant. He's immediately the best wide receiver on the team. Even like the other guys who have gone on to have great, like, be best receiver in the league level careers so far, didn't get that kind of buzz immediately. So I think it bodes well. We'll see if it plays out on the field, but those are our lists. The five most important Tennessee Titans offseason acquisitions. Let us know if you agree or disagree. We want to see ranked lists in the comments. I want 1 through 5 or 5 through 1, however you feel like doing it. And if you're really, really part of the Audible Army, you'll leave your 5 players as 5 different comments. Number 5, period, space, send comment. Number 4, period, space, send comment. That'll help us this show reach people because, like we said at the top, it's just the Audible Army in here these days. Until training camp starts again, it's probably just going to be the Audible Army, Justin.
Indeed it is. But you guys will be back tomorrow because you are the most loyal audience in the world to watch me and Graver talk about the Tennessee Titans on Thursday's episode of the Music City Audible podcast. Until tomorrow, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.